This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Looking forward to having Bill Goodykoontz on board. Goody at the movies, the end of the year with Bill, what he liked, what he didn't like, what stunk out loud from Bill. Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas, South Point Resort and Casino. We are partnering with the Arizona Republic as always. Welcome on in on AZ Central Sports, sports360az.com. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona with 16 airings per week. This will be our final show of 2017. So if you're seeing this at any point in time over the next week and a half, 2 weeks, I got to go underground, man. Got to take a break. Got to breathe. And there's so much going on, even during the holidays. But this will be one of those shows where we have some fun, screw around, laugh, scratch, and all that stuff. But I really want to look ahead on some things and then at other points of the show, look back on some stuff from the year. I mean, really, as we come into the holiday season, the only story that really truly matters from my point of view in the grand scheme of things in sports is the U of A ASU basketball game on December 30th. That's it. I mean, come on, if you're going to tell me Cardinals Giants with Drew Stanton back at quarterback that I'm supposed to get geeked up for that, could I make the argument that the Diamondbacks may make some news and some rather large news here in the holiday period? I can make that argument. JD Martinez is still sitting out there. The Diamondbacks are still sitting on Zach Greinke trying to get him to move and trade him. So I think that there's some things that could break over the holidays, but by and large, it's the bowl game season. No, Eric's going to go over to the Fiesta Bowl. I'm going to go to the Cactus Bowl. Not that I'm a fan of UCLA. I'm a fan of Josh Rosen. I would like the Cardinals to strongly consider looking at him. So I'll get into that some. I mean, the Suns have some games. The Coyotes have some games. But really, when you look at this year, that's where I want to start on today's show. We'll get over to Vaccaro, and we'll hear from Herm Edwards on recruiting, and we'll have Goody at the movies. But I want to look back a little bit on some things from the year. So our opening comments brought to you by the good people at Sagicor Now. Guys, protect what matters most. You've got to get your life insurance handled. It's the end of the year, right? End of the year. So Sagicor Now, log on, get your free quote. And again, protect what matters most. Sagicor, we appreciate Sagicor and their support of sports360az.com. We are self-funded. All the partners that you see in commercial breaks and throughout the show, they believe in what we do, and without them, we're not here doing it. It's the only way to put it. So looking back on the year, this was a year, you know, we do all this reflection stuff. If you're talking about the best sports story in Arizona this year, really there's not too many. Was it a great year for, let's go through football first. Was it a great year for the Cardinals? No, it was a terrible year for the Cardinals. Was it a great year for Arizona State? No, their coach got fired. Was it a great year for U of A? It had its moments. Had a Heisman candidate in Khalil Tate. Khalil Tate's going to be one of those players to watch when we get into 2018. You go over to basketball. Was it a great year for the University of Arizona? No, it wasn't a great year for the University of Arizona. They ended up flaming out in the tournament. Was it a great year for Arizona State? I thought it was a building year. The way that the year has ended for them has them set up to be one of the biggest stories of 2018. 2017 was a growth building type of year for Bobby Hurley. People had to believe in him. Money had to be spent to get the program turned around in the right direction. Players had to come in. Bobby, I thought, had some early bumps when he first got here with his assistant coaches that came and went. If you think back on Bobby Hurley, it wasn't the smoothest of sailing. I mean, Eric, am I overstating Hurley and the early, I'd say the first year was maybe to be expected.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like a startup.
Yeah.
We're going to go through some rough bumps.
Well, he inherited a bunch of players that he didn't recruit that probably didn't really fit the style.
And they're all your height, by the way, too.
Probably.
No size.
But a couple of those players, Cody Justice and Trey Holder, are stars now for the number three ranked team in the country as we do the show today.
So if we look at the football side, there was nothing good outside of Khalil Tate, right? I mean, N'Keal Harry made some nice catches.
I thought ASU had a fine season.
What?
Sure.
Excuse me?
What were your expectations before the season for ASU football?
My expectations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think it was the greatest roster in the world.
Nope.
Didn't want them to go to a lower-tier bowl game, which they are. Got tired of excuses from Todd, which I continue to get. Got tired of blowout losses to teams like USC, which happened.
But that's kind of always happened.
The Oregon and Washington games, because that's what people hang their hats on about this season. Oh, it was a great year. Did you watch how bad the Stanford game was? They couldn't stop anybody.
I would never call this a great year for ASU football, but I thought it was better than I expected.
So you weren't expecting a bowl game at all?
I thought they'd win 5, maybe 6 games. I mean, they finished 2nd in the South. South isn't great, but still, I mean, you go 6-3 in the Pac-12 South. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so you feel pretty good.
I feel pretty good about season, and I feel pretty good about the fact that they have a lot of players coming back. I'm going to wait and see on the head coach.
Yeah, you're not big on that one.
I'm going to wait and see on the head coach.
I'm not putting words in your mouth, but or maybe I am.
It could be one of those things, though. If he surrounds himself with the right coordinators, maybe he doesn't necessarily have to be a great head coach.
Well, he can recruit, I think. Look, the letter of intent day stuff from Herm Edwards. So whenever you have the opening press conference, that's easy. That's easy. That's fire and brimstone. You're going to win the room. You're going to say all the things. You're going to get those boosters all fired up. Big Cigar's going to get geeked. They're going to get jacked up. And so when that happens, you're going to hear one thing. When he spoke about his recruiting class, okay, hearing Herm Edwards talk about going out on the road and recruiting and all that, I didn't get the usual stock standard answer. Remember, this is a guy who hasn't been doing it. So here's Herm Edwards, and I asked him about what he likes about recruiting, and this was Herm Edwards. This was earlier.
A big decision. One of the biggest decisions he's going to make as a student athlete of what university he's going to attend. It makes a difference. For a lot of these kids, you walk in their home and you realize this will be maybe the first person in their family to go to college and to receive a degree. I was that guy. I get it. That story doesn't change a whole lot. And it changes people's lives. It really does. When they look at their son and go, my son is going to go to college.
Okay, that's strong stuff. And he went further. And I like this about Herm Edwards. He opened up about his family, his own family, his mom and his dad, and his impact by being able to go on to college to play football. This, again, Herm Edwards.
My mom was a German war bride. She didn't finish the 8th grade. My father joined the Army at 17 years old. I am the first college graduate. I get that. You know, that doesn't change whether you're in football or out of football. That's life. That's big, man. You walk in that family's home, and their eyes are bright, and they see you, and they say, Coach, you know, and now, a lot of different things on the menu at these homes. And whatever they served, I was eating. But other than that, it's a joy. It really is, because I know what's going to that family. I know what they're thinking. Yeah.
Okay, so you may say to it, well, what is a coach going to say to a parent, a father or a mother, for him to be so open about his own past to me, I like that a great deal. If Herm Edwards is sitting in my room at my house with my son and he's trying to recruit my son, I am fully captivated if I have a coach who's willing to admit to me, look, mom didn't finish 8th grade. Dad was out by 17. Eric, when you heard this stuff, did any of this stuff resonate to you, or was it just another signing day?
It was just another signing day.
So you wanted more about the player, the personal side of the coach?
I mean, Herm didn't really know a lot about the players, but that's okay because a lot of these kids probably doesn't have much of a relationship with since he got here so late. But Donnie Yantis, who heads up their recruiting, did a nice job of sort of capping the 11-player class.
I'd rather him give me the selling pitch than talking about a player and how great he is.
Because Graham used to do that. I mean, you remember some of those press conferences, Brad, on LOI Day when ASU would sign 36 kids and Graham would go through every single one of them and talk about each one of them for like 2 or 3 minutes?
They'd have a slideshow. And it was, I mean, in reality, Eric's kind of exaggerating. they'd have 20 max, right? 20, 21 max. It felt like 36, in fairness to you, okay? But they put the picture of the kid up on the screen.
With the bullet points.
With the bullet points. I just wish once it would say, can't play dead, total academic casualty, 2 left feet. Instead, it was everything that's so great, and most of the time, most of these kids, it never worked out that way. It would just be fun to have a coach come in and say, I don't know, assistants told me to take this guy, I don't think he can play. It would be fun, wouldn't it? I mean, you tell me, every student that walks through and gets accepted at the college you went to, they deserve to be at that college? So what's to make you think that every last football kid that comes through, that it all is going to work out rosy? Because it doesn't. It doesn't. So I kind of liked where he was. Rich Rod, on the other hand, send out a release. Here's the names of the players. I'm just moving forward. Jerome Sowers at NAU yesterday fired his offensive coordinator and fired his special teams coach yesterday. Letter of intent day. Here's our class. These guys are fired. There's only 4 of them that came through. Jimmy Vaccaro is next. Things around the bowl season. We'll get to Vegas, the view from Vegas from Jimmy Vaccaro, the wisest of the wise guys. On the other side, I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, now let's go to Vegas. And with the holidays here, many of you, I'm sure, are going to be heading up to Vegas. And you may run into our good buddy Jimmy Vaccaro at the South Point Casino Resort. He is going to be there with all the bowl games going on. You're going to want to make sure you swing by the South Point Casino and Resort. I'll get it right. South Point Casino and Resort. We're almost on vacation, Jimmy. You know how it is. The tongue gets tied up.
So,
I'm wondering first, before we get into the games, about last Sunday afternoon, I'd say about 5:25 Arizona time, when Ben Roethlisberger is trying to get a touchdown and it gets waved off and the Patriots win. And then that night, Jimmy, when the Cowboys are playing the Raiders and they take an index card and measure for a first down. I mean, you talk about stuff. You've never seen that stuff before, right?
Well, I've seen something similar, but never to the degree. I mean, you ask a question every week, and I try to answer them, and you, as good as I am, you've been around this stuff all your life. And I've always said this. You go to a movie, and you see the ending, and you know what's going to happen, so there's no sense going back for the movie. When you go to a football game or betting on a football game, you have no idea what's going to happen from game to game. I had never seen that. It was very, very costly to the book here in Nevada with both games ending that way. But like I said, I was just like a fan, like everybody else, looking and understanding this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. But, you know, that's what it's like, my friend. What can I tell you?
As we're coming to the playoffs this year in the NFL, are we looking at Steelers-Patriots from Vegas's view as the representative for the AFC?
Yeah, they're, I would consider, a step ahead of everybody, especially with the Patriots winning that game last week here. But you're going to see, I think, a matchup that's going to be just like we saw the other day. So I would consider those two of the front runners, and what a way to get into Super Bowl Sunday.
And over on the NFC side, is it Rams-Eagles, or do you throw Carolina in the mix, or is it more wide open than that?
No, we have taken so much money on the Rams and Eagles this year, as far as like way back when, considering after the Eagles started out like 1-2 and the Rams, nobody expected this out of them. We have a pretty good liability on the Eagles to win the conference championship there. Personally, even though it would hurt a little bit with future betting, I would love to see the Rams get in there only because of the proximity to Las Vegas. So no matter who it is, give me the Rams or Eagles. I'm that, to some degree, I'm tired of some of the old timers who are in there every year. And I wouldn't really be mad if the Patriots wasn't in there also. Give me some new blood with that, my friend.
Yeah, so Green Bay being out, we're both good with this. We're both happy that Green Bay's out, at least I am. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. So, all right, Jimmy.
All right, kid.
Jimmy Vaccaro with South Point Casino and Resort. All right, let's go through these one last time. January 1st, Georgia, Oklahoma. Where do things stand right now in the games?
Still looking for Oklahoma money. Open the game, Oklahoma as a 2-point favorite. We're on the other side. Georgia's up to 2.5. And I can't tell you this, my friend, with basically some time to go, I've never seen as much money bet on the Final Four teams as I have this year. It's incredible what the players are doing so far.
Alabama and Clemson.
Wow. I mean, pick them. And I thought Clemson should be a 1 or 1.5 point favorite with me, Chris, put these things up there. But we stuck to our guns. We put it up pick. But so far, we're getting blasted with Alabama money. We are at Alabama -3. That's a huge move. With the game that obviously we know that Alabama is good, but you can't call Clemson out. Alabama 3-point favorite. We'll see where it goes from here, my friend.
Three, Jimmy. That seems enormous. That's hard to believe.
Well, I can tell you this. It might be hard to believe, but the people that bet it, they believe it because they push this money. And I mean good money, a lot of money on Alabama. I was a little surprised, too. I thought because of the sentiment with Alabama has had over the years that they would draw some early money. I did not think for every four tickets we wrote on Alabama, we're only writing one on Clemson. So that's the way it is so far.
Well, have a great holiday, and I appreciate you being with us during the year, and we'll talk on the other side. Thanks, Jimmy.
My pleasure, young man.
Always good to catch up, Jimmy Vaccaro there in Vegas. Swing by South Point Casino and Resort. It's always good to see Jimmy, and he's on the move. He's always on the run. So, Eric, let's jump back into this a little bit. So we've already determined you think the football season for ASU wasn't that bad. U of A, to me, was the pleasant surprise and a Heisman Trophy candidate in Khalil Tate. He wasn't going to win this year. And I'm not going to say that he won't win next year. It's not like I'm looking around the field already in 2018 and saying, well, this guy's going to run away with it. But I think Rich has turned the corner down there.
Sorry, I am on the air now.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Jared. I definitely think Rich Rod has turned the corner a bit. I am curious to see what Khalil Tate does next year as the full-time starter because teams sort of figured him out a little bit. I mean, he went to Oregon, struggled. They played USC. He struggled.
I think he got beat up, too.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And that's the concern of any smallish
running
dual
quarterback.
Threat quarterback.
Yeah.
These guys get hit a lot, and if they're not Cam Newton size, even Cam Newton gets hurt because he gets hit so much.
So as we're sitting here in late December, do we have any reason to believe that 2018 is going to be anything different for the Coyotes and the Suns?
No.
And I agree with you on that, except for this one part.
As in the is 2017 into 20, like the rest of this season or next season?
Even next summer and next
Got
fall.
It. Got
the,
it.
The whole calendar year.
No, I don't see huge turnarounds for either of those
franchises.
It either.
I don't see the fans embracing. You know, I think the whole facility stuff is going to pick up more steam. This has been building for about 3 years where Robert's been wanting to get the new arena. There's been some contentious meetings downtown. I think Steve Patterson is trying to push through over on the Coyote side. We haven't heard much from Steve at all. He's trying to do a lot of things underground. And the Diamondbacks, I believe, are going to come out one day and say, we've got it all worked out. I'm hearing that that's, as surprising as that is, that's not going to be as sticky and as messy. But I do think the business side of 2018 will be interesting for building.
And I think the Diamondbacks were the best story of 2017. We didn't get to all the teams, but the Diamondbacks clearly were the best.
Diamondbacks and ASU basketball. Two different markets.
Sure.
Two different groups.
But it's still early for ASU basketball. I mean, I don't think they're going to trip all over themselves and not make the tournament. But, I mean, the Diamondbacks were a 500 team, we hoped, when the season started, and they had a magical run. Really good season.
Yeah, but, you know, losing JD for some fans, they're thinking there's not the commitment to keep winning. I disagree with that. If they lose Greinke, if they trade Greinke, I'm happy. I'm totally happy if Greinke moves. And if Greinke moves and JD still leaves, the fact that Martinez hasn't signed yet as we're doing this right before Christmas is odd to me. It just feels as though the Diamondbacks and Scott Boras were saying, okay, if you keep telling me to wait, I'll wait, but I'm only going to wait till a certain amount of time. The fact that Tomas is still on this roster with his big contract and he hasn't played, and JD is still sitting out, to me says they're trying to do something.
And Tomas is going to be a tough move because he was just so injury prone.
But you
last
want him
year.
To be moved, right?
Of course. Yeah, that's an inflated number. I mean, the Diamondbacks have three or four guys with huge contracts, and it's hard to navigate through the rest of the roster when Zach Greinke is taking up so much money.
All right, because this is our final show of the year, we're going to talk about personalities of the year on the other side, good, bad, and indifferent. And then we'll have Goody at the Movies. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. We have Brad Sussmatz, Football AZ. We appreciate all of our partners. We are self-funded. Without you, we don't do this. So please pay attention to this break. So this being our last show of 2017, I think we should look at personalities from this year and then look ahead, kind of project ahead, maybe five names or three. We always like doing lists. I probably shouldn't go there, right, Eric? But maybe like three names to know or two breakout candidates or any of that stuff. But to me, the sports story personalities of the year in Arizona, J.D. Martinez was not a big booming personality, but he showed up with a big booming bat. And so people wanted to know more about him. It was an interesting dynamic between himself and Paul Goldschmidt. Because the Diamondbacks did have such a good season, and they are the best story of the year, I think, to me, even the manager didn't stand out to people. Torrey Lovello is not a household name around the Valley. It's not like Bruce Arians, different sport. I get it, different exposure. But Torrey just went about his business, I thought. And I was not down there every day. But when I was down there, it's just very straightforward. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what it's all about. As much as Bobby Hurley doesn't get enough attention because ASU basketball has been irrelevant for so many years and off the radar, Bobby Hurley to me is the guy. I'm looking at 2018, and it may be too simple because as they go into the U of A game, it's a big time matchup, big time showdown and all that. But Sean Miller has gotten all this pub and all this ink since he's come to Tucson. And Sean's kind of ruled the roast in Tucson, ruled the roost in Tucson as well. He doesn't give the media a whole lot of attention. He keeps his freshmen away from media so they don't get to know him much. There's kind of this, I've got it figured out. I don't want people within inside my circle, and I'm the smartest guy in the room. And so when he does lose every year, before getting to the Final Four, there are going to be those that go after him. I'm not going after him. I'm merely preaching fact. He hasn't been to the Final Four. So, and you can say, well, this will be his year. It may be. He has a dominant big man, that's for sure, in DeAndre Ayton, a player that I absolutely love. I wish the Suns would figure out how to lose every last one of their games so they'd get him here, but they're not going to. And he's got a very good guard in Alonzo Trier. And I think if you talk about their roster top to bottom, there's more stars at the U of A. But are there some people around the state that didn't really get enough attention this year that are on the sporting landscape? I mean, I could go down the high school end and I could go through the college end. I could go through the pro end. I think that the story that generated the most buzz that I've been a part of, that I've seen on the high school end, was the Steve Bellis Hamilton hazing scandal. It just did. And it still does to this day. And yet, as I sit here at the end of December, have there been any formal charges filed? That may change over the break, but it hasn't happened as of yet. Why is that? And Steve Bellis is no longer coaching at Hamilton. I think on the high school front, that was the biggest story of the year. If there's a player on the high school front that jumped out, that really led the charge, it wasn't a senior. It was a quarterback up at Pinnacle High School who loves basketball probably as much as he loves football. Eric, if Spencer Rattler decided to just, if he showed up today and told you, I'm not going to play football anymore, I'm going to go basketball, would he go D1, do you think?
No.
He's not that good.
No. No, he's not. He's not a D1 basketball player.
Is he close?
No.
Because of height?
He's a very good high school basketball player. He could easily play like at a lower level college for basketball, but his calling and his sport is football.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't love basketball, because he does love basketball.
Okay. And have you seen Nico Mannion yet?
I saw him last week for the first time in
person.
What'd
you think?
I thought, they played Shadow Mountain.
Best team in the state.
And he was hounded for the entire game. He didn't have a great game, but he played relatively well.
Yeah.
I think by the time he's a senior, he's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I mean, all the Pinnacle guards are either juniors or sophomores.
Well, it's like a traveling club team over at Shadow Mountain.
I mean, it is.
So, I mean, so I get that.
Mike Bibby brought in three or four transfers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they still have Blackshear and Jalen House and some of the guys that got them to all these state titles.
So is there a better football story then than Spencer Rattler? Was there a senior this year? Tyler Shough came on the scene very late. Brock Purdy did not get a whole lot of recruiting attention. I'm not disparaging those guys. It's just a fact. Spencer Rattler became this national phenom from my point of view. And Oklahoma is already, their coach is flying out here to watch him play basketball. That doesn't happen.
But I think Spencer Rattler was on the radar.
Well, he was.
Long before 2017. I mean, he started getting offers his freshman year, and now he's a junior.
What do you think he's going to be like as a senior in high school on the football field next year? Because he's had all this attention for all 4 years. He's already committed to Oklahoma.
I'm just guessing he's probably going to be a little bit bored. He hasn't told me anything, but when you start as a freshman and you start to become dominant as a sophomore, and
sure,
you have a huge junior season, and you're going to Oklahoma, and you're having all these schools that are still reaching out to you, but you're committed to go to Oklahoma, going into your senior year of high school, it's probably just like, just get me to Norman.
Well, and because Baker Mayfield takes the Heisman Trophy, and Spencer is still sitting here, and he's already committed to Oklahoma, and he still has one more year to go. Honestly, it wouldn't have surprised me at all if Spencer Rattler says, I'm done with high school, I'm going to go enroll early in college. It really wouldn't surprise me, because I would agree with you. I don't know him at all. I've seen him play basketball. I've seen him play football. He's as good an athlete as I've seen come out of Arizona. If you guys haven't seen him play in 2018, go watch him play. Not just football. Go watch him play basketball, because he is, in my opinion, he's just a barrel of fun to watch. And you're going to look at that kid and say, I remember when he's playing. It's no different than Brett Hundley quarterbacking the Green Bay Packers. No different at all. I don't know how Spencer projects at that level. When Brian Lewerke comes here to play Arizona State next September, that's going to be fun, right?
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. And speaking of early enrollees and names from the past, looking back on this year, every time you see Marvin Bagley playing for Duke, you have to think to yourself, he should be a senior in high school in Phoenix right now. So,
no, I know. When I when we watched him play, I think there were days where we came in here a couple years ago, and we're going to go see Bagley play. And then we'd come back and be like, did you see what he did?
I only saw him play one time live, and that was, I think, the state semifinals his freshman year.
Against Central. Fargo.
That's right.
He was killing
it. I mean, I said that night he had, if he would have stayed, he would have been the best Arizona high school basketball player in state history.
Yeah.
And some people think he is, even after one season, the best ever to play.
Well, DeAndre Ayton played at Hillcrest Prep. You can make that argument that DeAndre Ayton was a high school kid, even though Hillcrest doesn't get acknowledged by the AIA. Now, I think, look, we do pro college and high school here. No jokes, right? So when we look at guys on the professional level, like Chandler Jones has had a season to remember. When you look at what Chandler Jones has had around him, you know, Calais Campbell was here, and Chandler didn't get Calais here on the roster. And Calais early this year in Jacksonville rolled it up, and Calais is having a fine season. You look at the numbers Larry Fitzgerald has put up, and the easiest thing to do as a sportscaster in this market is to do something on Larry Fitzgerald. It's the easiest. You can go find video of him. You can go find old sound bites of him. He's outgoing. He's gregarious. I'm not bashing Larry. I know Larry well. We go to these things that he's done. But when you look at this year, with the lack of wide receiving depth across from him, and the number of quarterbacks that have rolled through this year, and the numbers that he's put up this season, I mean, it's as good a year as Larry's put up, even though statistically it won't say it. And so, you know, for him to come back next year, allegedly, we'll see. What am I to expect of him next year? If it's a new coach, if Bruce pulls the ripcord, which I believe he's going to, there's just too much smoke out there. And for him to come back, why? For Larry next season in 2018, I'm looking at this as, what can he do for an encore? Because we have all said, I hope he doesn't get hurt. I hope he doesn't. He hasn't slowed down. He just keeps going. All right, Goody at the Movies is next. One last segment. Bill Goody-Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. I'm Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, sports360az.com. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona 16 times per week. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. We are self-funded. We appreciate those who sponsor us, and you're about to see them. Stay with us. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and it is the holiday season, you got to get out to the movies. It is time for Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett AZ Central. Bill's friend, is it your best friend who's the coach at Wofford?
He's one of my best friends. We were certainly among best friends when we were growing up.
So,
and we've kept in touch. We've kept in touch, you know, throughout the years.
So last night, Wofford, as we're taping this, Wofford beats North Carolina. And this is one of your close friends that does it. Have you been in touch with him yet? Have you jumped up and down and woohooed and all that stuff, Bill?
Oh, we my family and I were, you know, just jumping up and down and screaming and hollering. And my oldest daughter kept yelling, "Don't jinx it," when I would say that they're going to win this thing, you know. I've texted him. I haven't heard back from him yet because I would guess that he's hearing from a lot of people. But I'm sure I will. That's what somebody asked me about. Should I write a story about it or something? I said, I'm not exactly objective. All my kids have like 5 Wofford basketball shirts.
That's funny. Well, you know what's happening today with his phone. He's getting calls from colleges that are going to come open. Sorry to burst your bubble. He's leaving.
That'd be fun. He's been there for a long time. He did it right. I mean, he was an assistant for a long time. He stayed there. They've made the tournament like 4 of the last 7 years or something, and he's been Southern Conference Coach of the Year for, you know, 2 or 3 seasons. But I'll tell you a thing about Michael that was that's a good thing. When we were in college, every Christmas Eve he would bring my grandmother a rose.
Oh wow, that's nice. What is that? You surround yourself with really good people. That's good.
Certainly in comparison.
All right, so here, let's go through this. I've got 3 movies here to ask you about, but I'd rather go this route. And if we get to the movies, it's fine. Worst movie buildup of the year, and you go see it, and you're like, man, this thing is just dreadful. I don't know why I'm here. And best movie that you saw this year?
The worst movie I saw, you know, I did a list. I did a top 10 and a bottom 10, handily available at movies.azcentral.com, by the way.
There you go.
And I'm bad. The thing about making these lists is, I said something about this in the intro. Once you make it, you're kind of locked in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the same as if you give a movie 3 stars or 3.5 or whatever. That's all anybody's going to remember. But your mind changes about this stuff. But particularly for the worst movies, I mean, bad is just kind of bad. I had a pretty clear number one for the good ones. I mean, was there a worse movie than Transformers: The Last Night? Probably not. But that's the kind of movie that it almost sets out not to be any good. You know what I mean? You know what it's going to be. It's going to be 2.5 hours of stuff blowing up. And then I thought Baywatch was really bad. But sometimes it's a disappointment kind of thing. Like, you know, is there a worse movie than, you know, I don't know, 50 Shades Darker? Yes, probably, but yeah.
You have to search hard to find it. You have to search really hard to find it.
Right. Are there a worse movie than Snatched? I love Amy Schumer, but I hated that movie. In that case, it's a disappointment. But for me, the one that ended up number one on my list was just because it was so weird. And it's the movie The Book of Henry. And it's one of those movies that it looks good and it's got a good cast and it clearly tries to set out to make you cry, but it is so manipulative and so weird. Just in the middle of this movie, it completely changes gears and becomes a second movie with a slightly altered cast. And, you know, and it's not like one of those David Lynch things where it's done for artistic purposes.
Yeah.
It's just done because I think they just didn't know what else to do. It's just bizarre.
All right. Best movie of the year. Best movie of the year.
The best movie of the year, easily for me, was Lady Bird.
All right. And I've got to see that still over the holidays. I'm going to see The Post and Lady Bird.
Post is really good. That was on my list. I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you right now, the 10 movies you want to see.
Yeah.
And there are more than this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. The Phantom Thread, Daniel Day-Lewis's last movie, supposedly. I just talked to the director of that, Paul Thomas Anderson, yesterday. I said, "Do you try to talk him out of him?" And he said, "Nah, you don't really try to do that with him." 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. We're sort of going in ascending order here. The Post, which may be too low on my list at number 8. The Shape of Water, which I loved. The Florida Project, which I thought was great. Get Out, which is, you know, goes way beyond being a horror movie. Call Me by Your Name, which opens this week. It's terrific. Dunkirk. The Big Sick, and then Lady Bird.
All right. You know, let me go back on the post for a second. So I was listening to Tony Kornheiser's podcast, and he went to a screening. He said he cried from start to finish on it because he worked at the Post. I mean, is it something that really moves you as a journalist?
Yes, it's not just that he worked at the Post. It's that and I heard that too. And it's the lifestyle. It's the things that are done there. It's the stories that people used to tell and write. And I felt a little bit that way, even with the movie about the Catholic Church and the sex scandal with the Boston Globe, Spotlight.
Spotlight, yeah.
I felt kind of that way with that too. I mean, in some ways, I love that movie. I love the Post, but it made me sad because it's just that does not exist anymore. I mean, people don't do that anymore. The thing with Katharine Graham now, you know, the media companies won't do anything. You know, they'll change a word in a headline if somebody doesn't like it. The thing in the Post, this was before Watergate. The Washington Post was still pretty much a local paper trying to be big. And the fate of the entire company was riding on this.
Mm-hmm.
If Katharine Graham, you know, if they shut the paper down, if the judiciary system was going to shut down the paper, they would go bankrupt. That'd be the end of the Post. And I mean, these were huge stakes, and these were people taking chances because they thought they were doing the right thing. And you just don't see much of that anymore. I mean, these are now. Granted, there were like about 10 times as many newspapers. If you got fired from that one, you could probably go get a job at another one.
Right.
But I mean, it's just that whole notion, that speaking truth to power kind of thing, that it's so prevalent in everything in this movie. And you just want to, I mean, there were times when I actually cheered and I knew the story. I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it was just to see somebody do that and to act on it in this day and age. It's just like, yes, you know.
Well, I can't wait to see it. We're talking with Bill Goodykunz, Goody at the Movies. You mentioned Call Me By Your Name. So let's go through the review of this. We've got the trailer to roll through. Call Me By Your Name. You say this is worth seeing.
Oh, it's great. It's the most beautiful movie of the year for sure. And the LA and New York City critics named it their best movie. It's basically, it's about this this teenage boy who spends summers in Italy with his dad, who's a professor, and he and his dad has a kind of an intern every summer, you know, who comes and helps him. And he and this year it's Armie Hammer. This, you know, and he the kid, the 17-year-old boy, basically falls in love with the 24-year-old boy. And it's not, you don't know if it's love or what. I mean, it's not like he's sort of feeling things out. And it's an interesting thing. It's not a strictly like a gay romance or something, because the kid also has kind of a girlfriend, as does the guy. But it's just this thing. It's just so pure and just like sensuous and sensual. And it's just and beautifully shot. And the acting is fantastic. I mean, it's really good. It's definitely one of the best movies of the year.
Okay, let's zip through the rest of these then. We'll go from Call Me By Your Name to All the Money in the World. All the Money in the World. Is this any good?
Yeah, it's good. And it's the big news movie, because it's the movie where they replaced Kevin Spacey last month with Christopher Plummer. They replaced him in a completed movie a month before it came out. And I talked to Scott, the director, and he talked about doing it. And he's an 80-year-old man. He doesn't care what he says. He doesn't care about what you think about what he says. And he was just like, he's like, yep, well, I just did it. But I wanted to do it, and I did it. Well,
so this is worth seeing, no question.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. And Christopher Plummer, by the way, is fantastic.
All right. I like him. I'll let you go off that.
Yeah, he was.
Have a good holiday.
I asked him, was Spacey good? And he said, absolutely, he was good. But you know, there just wasn't going to be any having him in this movie.
All right. Have a good holiday. I got to let you go off that. I'm out of time. See
okay.
You. Stay well.
See you. Bye.
This is Good Eat the Movies. Bill and I could go all day on that stuff. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. We appreciate Jared and his production. Eric Sorensen is our senior executive vice president of everything or nothing, depending on how the day and how the show goes. It's fine. Appreciate our partnership with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sesmat Football AZ. Again, we're self-funded. We appreciate those who have supported us through the year. We're in year six now of doing this. Local, 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 local. And we appreciate those, again, who do self-fund us. You can see them after these messages. Have a great holiday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.